For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
Fellow Falcoholics, what is up? Welcome to another episode of the Dirty Birds of Brews podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Knight, here at Falcoholic Kevin, of course, to bring you another Falcons mock draft. I know I've been teasing it for weeks that it's coming, but it is finally coming now that we've gotten all of the information we need from the NFL Combine. We're going to be taking a look at how things have changed, if I'm moving anybody around, what type of haul the Falcons can get based on the fact that we have a pretty good idea of this draft class now after getting all of the athletic testing, after seeing the Senior Bowl, the Shrine Bowl, all of that stuff. I have an idea what the Falcons can do here with their draft picks. They still do have a full complement, although it does seem like it's unlikely that they're going to get that second round pick from the Jaguars. So I would probably caution you to just expect that it's going to be the third round pick, pick 79, which is still nice. But I wouldn't, it seems like the Jags are willing to let Ridley leave. So given that, I think it's natural that we just sort of assume, but the Falcons still, even with that, they do still have four picks in the top 100, four picks in the top 80, really. And then they've got a total of seven. And there is some confusion, I think, about whether or not Atlanta will get the pick back that they sent for Kentavious Street, because it's possible that Street didn't hit the play time necessary for that pick to go to Philly. I don't know for sure. Some sites say that they have it. Some sites say that they don't. I'm usually going off of Tankathon because they've been the most up to date, but it's possible the Falcons do have a seventh round pick, also. So that would give them eight. I'm just going to assume that they don't until the NFL actually announces the official draft order. Until then, I'm just going to assume that they don't, but it's possible they might have that seventh round pick in there too. For those of you that are really into those late day three guys, for me, I'm okay not making that pick, but it's possible they could have that as well. But we will dive into it, guys. We're going to do a full mock draft here, looking at all of these options. Before we do, I want to bring you guys a quick word from our sponsor, BetOnline. Folks, BetOnline continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year, but especially right now, because guess what, guys? It's March Madness time. It's coming real soon, and the NBA is heating up as well. With up-to-the-minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs, to the championship in March Madness, with in-game live betting contests and all the best player props. Could experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices. So what are you waiting for, folks? Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team, and remember to use our promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. All right, let's dive in to this mock draft. Again, you know, the one thing that we do before going off is, what do the Falcons do at quarterback? Because that sort of colors the entire draft. And again, given all of the buzz around Justin Fields and most recently Kirk Cousins, we're going to assume that they got one of those two, probably going to go more with the Cousins, because I'm going to make all the picks in this draft. We're not going to trade any picks for quarterback. So we're going to assume that the Falcons basically signed Kirk Cousins for the purposes of this mock draft. Because right now, that seems like the most likely outcome, given the buzz. Is the buzz true? I don't know. I'm not really going to weigh in on that on this episode. But for the assumptions of this mock draft, it's the Falcons got Kirk Cousins or something equivalent to that, that they don't need a starting quarterback in the draft. So knowing that, go into round one, pick eight. And last time I took Jared Verse here, we're going to go with an edge rusher again. I think it's worth a discussion about wide receiver if, you know, Adunze or Malik Nabers is here. But for the purposes of this, I'm going with another edge rusher. We're going to go with Dallas Turner here after his fantastic combine. And given that we know now that the Falcons are moving to the 3-4 base, they're going to have more of these stand-up outside linebackers as their edge rushers. I do think that things shift a little bit more towards Dallas Turner or even Laiatu Latu, as those guys are more your prototypical stand-up rushers. Dallas Turner, like, he really impressed in the workouts, and he's the most raw. You know, it is what it is. Like, Dallas Turner needs a lot of work. He doesn't really have much of a pass rush plan. He's all athleticism, speed. He's starting to use his hands. He's got the basics down. He just needs to develop counters, develop that plan a lot more. And he's just not really a great block shedder. He's not really going to be a huge asset in run defense. I think he can be a good backside pursuit player and all those things. And he's a great finisher, tackles well. It's just, he's going to have a hard time holding up against like offensive tackles in the run game right now. That's his problem, but his benefits obviously are that, look, he is a prototype outside linebacker. Obviously the testing is great. I think if you knew Dallas Turner, you knew he's going to test really well, but still the 4.46 40, the 40 isn't that impactful for edge rushers, but still he ran a 4.46. That's faster than a lot of wide receivers. That would have been like an 80th percentile wide receiver 40. So like, that's almost the fastest ever for an edge rusher. He also hit that 1.54 10-yard split, which is over 99th percentile. That's the more important number for edge rushers. A 40.5-inch vertical jump, that's over 99% as well. And a 10'7" broad, which is close to 97th percentile. So he also weighed in well. Like, he's nearly 6'3". I think he's like 6'2 and 6'8". I'll give it to him. You know, if you're with 6'7", 8", I'll give it to you. 247, which is important. You know, I think he needs to be around 250 in the NFL. But really the big deal for him was the arm length. I never thought he had a length issue, but his arms coming in at over 34, like almost 34.5 inches, is huge. Because it means that he's actually in a really good spot. Because the height can actually hurt you in leverage and stuff like that. But a lot of times the height is associated with length. In this case, he's a little bit shorter, but he's got the long arms, similar to like an Earl Debakady, who's like 6'2", but has the long arms, so it doesn't end up really hurting him. That is the big thing, I think, for him. Obviously, the great testing solidifies that he's just a complete elite athlete, prototype type guy, but the arm length checks all the boxes for him. He's now the total package. He is now the prototype edge one in like a 3-4 system. So I think that he's going to be edge one for many people. I don't know if I'm going to move him up there yet. I mean, I view the production. I view that sort of stuff. I mean, maybe I'll end up sliding Laiatu Latu up there because he also had a great workout, better than I think most people expected. So honestly, any of these three guys are good, but I think the Falcons, if they're going to swing for the fences with this pick, they want to get that potential 15 plus sack, you know, Von Miller-esque edge one long-term type guy. Dallas Turner is the closest thing to that in this draft. He's also got the most risk, but again, you know, I also don't think he's going to be a bad player, but he's got more to do to contribute immediately than like a Jared Verse or a Laiatu Latu. I think those guys are like 6-8 sack immediately type of players, and both are a lot more reliable against the run too. So, you know, we'll go with Turner this time. I'll probably go with Latu in one of these mocks too. And I've already taken Verse. So, you know, we'll mix all these guys in and see how it turns out. But I think you can make a clear argument for all three of these guys at this point. Round two, pick 43. You know, this is going to be a wide receiver most mocks that you'll see. And I'm going to take the opportunity to highlight a guy that really helped himself with his combine, which was, of course, wide receiver Xavier Worthy from Texas. He set the NFL record for the fastest 40 with a 4.21, which is world-class Olympic-level speed. There's no way around it. I mean, if you watch his tape, you could tell he just runs away from everyone. The thing that makes Xavier Worthy worth 43, like, obviously the world-class time helps, like, lift him up. Like, okay, this guy is absolutely special in terms of speed. Not just, like, really fast. He's, like, the fastest player in the NFL. He's not just a deep threat. I think Worthy has pretty good route nuance. I think he's got outstanding explosiveness. He hit a 41-inch vertical jump, which is 98th percentile. That is absurd. He also hit a 10'11" broad, which is almost 97th percentile. He's explosive and fast, and he's not just a one-speed runner. He actually is pretty nuanced with his routes. He can drop his acceleration. He can go back to 100 in a second. He can really mess with guys, and he's more than just a deep threat. In fact, like, while I think he tracks the ball really well, you know, those deep contested catches are not going to be a thing he's going to win. So he either has to create a ton of separation deep and have a guy that can get that ball downfield. He can also use that speed and explosiveness in the short to intermediate area. I think he can be used on a lot of motion plays. He can do jet sweeps. He can do crossers. He can do stuff over the middle of the field to really take advantage of that speed if he gets a crease or gets a little bit of space to take that stuff to the house. He is so dangerous that him being on the field is going to dictate coverage, because if he gets behind a team and gets separation, you just throw that ball up. Like, you could put that ball way out there, and very few players are going to have a chance to catch him. So I like what Worthy brings to this offense. He gives them a player that defenses have to respect, and that's what they absolutely have to have, because they've got Drake London, defenses respect him. They've got Kyle Pitts. You know, maybe there's less respect for Pitts, you know, with his injured season and the fact it's not having the quarterback play to really take advantage of him. But if they get a Cousins in here that can actually take advantage of these guys when they're open, then you get a Worthy in here who can threaten over the top and be a very dangerous yards after catch threat with his speed. And honestly, his contact balance is good. Like, he, you know, the thing with Worthy, like, that everyone's going to bring up, he's 5'11", which, that's not a big deal necessarily. He's also 165 pounds, which is one of the lightest receivers in the NFL. And on the one hand, we did just see Tank Dell, who has a similar build, have a lot of success this year with that archetype. I think Worthy is played more on the outside than Dell did, and has probably got a future there as well as doing some stuff in the slot. But we also saw Tank Dell end the season on IR and miss, you know, the playoff run, which is huge, because if you're going to make the playoffs, you want your best guys there. So, you know, Worthy's just always been a light guy. That's kind of who he is. But if he could get that weight up into the 170s, maybe 175, if he could get to that level, that would help a lot. But he's never going to be a guy you want getting crushing hits. He's never really going to be a contested catch guy, but what he brings in terms of the dynamic explosiveness, creating space with his routes, with his speed, with his explosive cuts and ability, like, he's got that. And that's what the Falcons really need to accentuate what else they have, because they have the contested catch guys. They've got Drake London. They've got Kyle Pitts who can go up and get it. They need the dynamic guy to create space. So I think Xavier Worthy makes a lot of sense here. You know, Kirk Cousins, not necessarily the most aggressive deep ball thrower, but you have to have that threat. Even if Cousins isn't going to launch that thing very often, if he does launch it, you want someone down there that can go get it. And that's, I think, what Xavier Worthy can be for this offense, to threaten that and to really pull the defense back. Because right now they're sitting on the run, and if you want the defense to back off, you got to give them a reason to back off. And I think Worthy would check that box in a big way. Moving on to round 3, pick 74. This is the Falcons pick. We're going to go the opposite direction from Xavier Worthy, right? We're going to get the biggest guy in the class, or one of the biggest, and pick up a nose tackle that the Falcons need for this 3-4 base that they're going to be going back to. And we're going to grab defensive tackle Devondre Sweat from Texas. I think if he does fall into this range, which I think is likely, I don't know that it's a guarantee, but I think he's a nose tackle. While I think his weigh-in was good for him, it wasn't to the point where, like, the questions are still there with Sweat, and in terms of how much can he play, can he really impact the pass game, how many snaps is he going to be able to handle. He came in at 6'4.5", that's great, 366 pounds. He's obviously going to be a space eater. He's going to be able to take on double teams. He's going to be able to create disruption and make tackles, and his like athleticism at that size is good. It's just not good relative to other pass rushers. So he's going to be pushing the pocket and doing those things. But if he's at 366, how much can he really play? That's the question that's going to have him maybe falling into the later part of day 3. I think Sweat immediately gives the Falcons like a dominant nose tackle for the run, which is important because stopping the run is a big part of giving your defense advantageous situations in passing downs. I think for Sweat to really hit his potential, which is a top nose tackle type of guy, he I think he has the juice. I think he's got the talent to potentially be a top nose tackle. he's got to get down into the 340s and he's got to keep it there. And that's a big ask when you've been playing allegedly closer to 400. So
for the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
He's super strong. He's very talented, and he's going to be a starter against the run. But if he wants to take that next step and become the nose tackle that I think he's capable of being, he's got to drop like 20 pounds, 20 to 30 pounds. And that's a big ask, and it's going to take a while to do it and keep the weight off. But at this stage, the Falcons can afford to be patient with him. They really just need him to come in and stabilize the run defense and give them that dominant presence in the middle to shut down the run. And they could sort of wait for him to develop more as a passer over time. So I like that fit. I think him between like Jarrett and Onyemata is, you're not gonna be able to run on that. And I think the Falcons have some other guys they can rotate in against the run too. So I think Sweat is what they need in terms of a run stuffer. And I think you like him, and the reason he's going in the third round and not on day three is because, you know, he's got the potential to be more than just a run stuffer. And I would love to see that. I think he'd be a great fit here. Add some beef in the middle of the line. We got to get some of that too. Round three, pick 79. This is the Jaguars pick from the Ridley trade. We'll see what happens in free agency. Again, it's like right now we haven't filled any needs. So I kind of feel like, okay, I have to hit these needs or we're not going to, you know, who knows if we'll fill these in free agency. But the Falcons need a second safety. They need a long-term second safety. And with all these safeties getting released, it's possible they could do this more easily in free agency than I thought, because there's so many safeties available. There might be some guys that have to take one-year deals or take, you know, somewhat less than they could get. And maybe that's the best way to stabilize it and just get a dynamic safety duo. If they don't go that route, they can't really rely on Richie Grant to be the second safety anymore. I mean, I think you could still kind of cross your fingers and hope that he develops more, but I think he's more going to be a depth guy if he even sticks around, because they could save like $3 million by cutting Richie Grant. So I like DeMarco Helms. I think DeMarco Helms is the third safety. I'm happy with that. He's good enforcer. He's capable of doing some stuff, but I don't think he's really the ideal cover two safety next to Jesse Bates. I think that's not really his game. He needs to play closer to the line of scrimmage and use his physicality and that sort of stuff. So if they do go into the draft needing that second safety, I think this is probably the area you're looking to add that guy if there's one here. And I really like Dadrian Taylor Demerson from Texas Tech. I think he's kind of an underrated guy. And the reason is he's 5'10". You know, he's 5'10", 197, doesn't have the ideal size. So he's not really like high up people's boards in terms of like, oh, this is the prototype safety, but he's a ball hawk. He's a very good athlete, tested out really well. He's got great coverage instincts. He can play all over. He played deep. He played split safety stuff. He played single high. He played slot. I mean, he can do a little bit of everything, and you love that versatility. And he's just an impactful player. In college, he everywhere he played, he's a good tackler. He's aggressive. He's not going to be like a physical enforcer type, but he's going to get the guy on the ground pretty much every time. And that's really all you need. You know, the coverage is more important for the most part, especially if you're got this beef, like you got, you know, your good linebackers, you got Lamon in there, you got Caden Ellis, you got, you know, Troy Anderson, these linebackers that should be able to handle it most of the time. You don't need these safeties to be your enforcers. And Jesse Bates is a very good tackler too. So you have that. You can have Taylor Demerson be more of that coverage focused safety. So you can move Jesse Bates around more. Jesse Bates doesn't necessarily have to always be the single high safety. You can confuse the offense by moving these safeties in and out a bit more. And Taylor Demerson, he is a coverage guy. He covers very well. I think he'd be perfect across from Jesse Bates. I think DeMarco Helms, if you rotated him in as the third safety or you played three safety sets, you can have Helms play close to the line of scrimmage and keep Taylor Demerson and Jesse Bates back. And you've got a great three safety set there that covers a lot of ground. I think he's kind of an underrated guy. I didn't really know too much about him previously because he wasn't at the Senior Bowl, or at least I didn't notice him if he was. But, you know, because I was mostly watching the trench guys and wide receivers. So, but I think he's very intriguing, and I think in this part of the draft would be a great place to add that safety. And again, that would open up a lot of cap space, because now you've got your safeties set if this hits without having to spend money at that second safety spot. And, you know, I think he's a very intriguing guy for sure, to be paired with Jesse Bates. Sticking with the secondary here going into the fourth round, we don't know what the Falcons are going to do in free agency at corner either. Like, does Jeff Okuda come back? They're probably going to bring in somebody at corner if Okuda doesn't come back. You know, they're rumored to be really interested in getting L'Jarius Sneed in here, so it's possible that happens, I guess. You know, Akello Witherspoon from the Rams could be a potential addition as well. I still think they got to keep adding at corner, and I think they probably should always be adding. You know, it's one of those positions where you should just, like, wide receiver, corner, you should just throw picks at it every year and see what you get. And I like Clark Phillips as well, so maybe Clark Phillips gets a shot. But I think they still got to keep adding guys. And right now, you know, with Okuda leaving, they could use another big sort of physical corner to match up with the Mike Evanses of the NFL. And I really liked what I saw from Cam Hart of Notre Dame at the Senior Bowl. He also had a really great combine. I think he ended up with like a 9.82 relative athletic score. And he measured in at 6'3", 202. I mean, that's fantastic size. He's got good athleticism and movement skills for that size, which is really impressive. You know, he's had a lot of shoulder injuries, I believe. So that's always going to flag him, and that's probably why he's going to go a little bit later. He hasn't played a ton as a result. I think he missed a lot of time with those injuries. But he's a great zone corner. We suspect that this is going to be a zone-heavy defense under Jimmy Lake and Raheem Morris. I think he's a great fit in that. I think he can play man too, but you know, this is a guy that I think has a lot of upside despite the medical questions for this part of the draft, and I would not hesitate to get Cam Hart if he's here at this point. Moving on to the later day three picks. This is a great wide receiver class. So going into the fifth round, a lot of times I'm like, all right, let's see what other wide receiver we can get. Who's here? Last time I took Luke McCaffrey. I still think if he's here in that range, that's a good place to go. This time we're going to go in a little bit of a different direction to get a slot specialist in wide receiver Malik Washington from Virginia, a guy who was basically not on the radar at all in 2022, transfers to Virginia from Northwestern in 2023 and becomes like the most productive or close to it wide receiver in college football. Like, extremely productive, set like records for most receptions and all kinds of stuff at Virginia this year. He was the focal point of that offense. He's 5'8 and a half, but he's 191, so he's more that running back thick build. And he's a very smooth mover. I mean, he's explosive. He's got great lateral agility. That sort of compact running back frame gives him great contact balance, and he's got phenomenal hands. He catches everything. He doesn't have elite deep speed. He's fine. He I think he ran like a 4.46, which is fine. It's not like Xavier Worthy speed, but that's plenty to stretch the field sometimes. But he's not like a top deep threat type of speed. He's a very functional deep player and can do kind of stuff. More of what he brings is that three level ability. He can do the short stuff. That was a lot of what he did at Virginia, was a lot of dump offs, a lot of screens, a lot of short crossers and all that stuff where he could sort of use his explosiveness and skills to kind of make those quick catches and get yards after the catch. He can do intermediate stuff, and I think he can develop into a full-fledged three-level receiver, but he ran a very limited route tree at Virginia. Again, it was mostly short stuff, quick game, all that. And the Falcons need someone that can do that, so I think he'll immediately get a role here in Atlanta if he can show that he's ready for it. He needs to develop the rest of that out. He's probably a slot-only guy, which is not really a problem in Atlanta's system that's going to feature the slot a lot more, but I think he's such a good player. I think that his production is not an aberration this year. I think he's a potential wide receiver three in the NFL. It's just that he's got work to do before he can do more than like quick game stuff. Like, it's going to take time for him to learn that route tree. And he doesn't have ideal size, obviously. I mean, he's under 5'9", so like that's going to cross him off the board for a lot of teams. You know, it's going to be hard for him to go up and get it, you know, in deep ball situations in the red zone. He's going to be a guy that has to create separation, but phenomenal hands. The contested catching itself, like if he gets his hands on the ball, he's a great receiver. It's just he's going to have to deal with the traffic and create separation for him to be open as opposed to some of these bigger guys. But I love Malik Washington. He's one of my favorite day three targets. This is probably not the last time you're going to see him in one of these mocks. But I do wonder if he's going to be more of a fourth round guy by the time we get to the draft, just because I don't think you can ignore the production that much. But if he's a fifth round guy, run to the podium. Go get it done, because I think he has the potential to be a very productive, good slot receiver for this team pretty early. All right, last pick of this mock, round six, pick 199. This is one where it's just sort of like, who do you like? You know, what kind of positions are you looking at? What kind of depth do you need? I think there could be running backs here if the Falcons want to take a swing on one of these guys, like a Frank Gore Jr. or, you know, Cody Schrader from Missouri. Like, if they want to get one of those more premium, like, backup running backs, then they could do that. I think linebacker is another one. Wide receiver, if they need to take another one, there's still going to be good ones here. I think with this one, I'm going to go with linebacker and a guy that really impressed during the combine, that kind of made a name for himself. And that's linebacker Adefuan Ulofosio from Washington. And this is a guy that really has risen up over the course of this offseason. And with his play, his senior season at Washington, he's going to be an older rookie in the NFL. He lost the better part of two seasons to injuries early in his career. But, you know, I think a lot of people questioned if he was athletic enough to play in the NFL. And I think he answered those questions at the combine, where he turned in a 4.56 in the 40, which is really good for a linebacker. That's like 93rd percentile. He had a great vert, almost 40 inches, and a great broad as well, 10'8". So he is athletic. He's explosive. The big knock, I think, has been he's a little stiff, you know, lateral agility wise. He covers tight ends well. I think he's going to struggle with those shiftier running backs and stuff. But he's a physical linebacker. He's a thumper. He's an aggressive player. He's a little smaller, right? He's like 6'5" and 236. You know, the 236 is fine. That's just what linebackers weigh now. But not overly tall. Decent length. He's just physical. He's a thumper. He needs to use his hands better to get off blocks. But he is a physical guy. He's going to be able to come in and bolster your run defense. And I think with Ulofosio, I think he's like a special teams guy. I think this is a guy you want being a core part of your special teams. I think he can fill that role. So if the Falcons don't bring back Andre Smith Jr., or they're looking to go a little bit younger there and develop a guy, I think Ulofosio has the athletic traits so you could develop him more in coverage. Maybe he could be a third linebacker for you or something like that. I think he just could come in and be a core special teams player. And I think that's where you start him and you see, you know, how he develops from there. But I think at this point in the draft, that's what you're looking for. You're looking for guys that can help you immediately on special teams, guys that can bolster your depth. And I think Ulofosio checks those boxes. And, you know, you're not too concerned about the injury history at this point in the draft, you know, almost a seventh round pick at this stage. So I like Ulofosio. I think he has helped himself a lot this offseason, and he's someone that definitely is on my radar as a late day three potential sort of sleepery guy that can be a roster contributor, similar to a DeMarco Helms. Comes in, plays special teams, ends up getting on the field as a third safety, as a rotational guy, and making a mark. So I think Ulofosio could have a similar trajectory in the NFL, helping out the Falcons. But that's the class, folks. Again, they may have a seventh round pick, so just add your favorite, you know, late day three player to the mix if you want to. But yeah, I mean, I think this is a way that this could go down. I think they're going to take two receivers. I think they're probably going to sign at least one starter at receiver as well. You know, I think the one main question is, like, do they go for a receiver like with that eighth pick if one of them is there? And then how do they handle edge? Do they sign an edge in free agency? And that opens the door a little bit for them to do more at the top of the draft. You know, the free agency is going to answer some of these questions for us, and we're going to know that very soon, right? You're going to be watching this, and then free agency is going to happen the next week. So some of these questions might be answered by the time you see this, if you're watching this late. But for the time being, we just have to try to figure out how to fill needs with the draft as best we can. And some of them will get filled in free agency, and some things will be prioritized more, but that's part of the fun. You know, we're going to have some different mocks coming out after free agency, obviously, that will target some different positions and move some things around. So again, thank you guys so much for joining me today on the Dirty Birds of Bruce podcast. It's always fun to do these mock drafts. Apologies for the delay on it. I just was like, I'm not going to squeeze this out right before the combine and then have to change it immediately. So It's a fun one. We'll have plenty more of these coming. We're also going to be starting up our live mock draft with our patrons and channel members soon. So if you're interested in that, check out the Patreon, check out the channel memberships on YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice. Leave us that like and subscribe on YouTube if you're a video enjoyer. We will be back. I will be out the week of free agency. It just happens sometimes to overlap with when I can travel here at this time of year, which is tragic, but it is what it is. With thefalcoholic.com, we'll have all that great content. We will, of course, have another episode coming for you next week on Monday. Just had a great conversation with Derek Klassen, the QB guru, the QB evaluator for Reception Perception, and he also does a lot of draft stuff for Bleacher Report. That's going to be coming out on Monday, so you got that to look forward to sort of prime you for the Falcons' options at quarterback going into free agency. So thanks again for watching, guys. Thanks for joining us here on the show. Appreciate all of you. Enjoy free agency week. We'll see you soon after. Until next time, guys, thanks for watching. I'm Kevin Knight at Falcoholic. Kevin, thanks again to Bet Online for sponsoring today's show. We'll see you guys next time on Dirty Birds and Brews podcast. Have a great day, folks.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.